There's no point in teaching in silos. Why? A, there's too much. Burnout is imminent. And B, children then struggle to make connections between the different subject areas because life is integrated. We have to teach it in an integrated manner. So what does that mean? Hello and welcome to Blooming Curious, a podcast dedicated to reimagining early childhood education through the power of curiosity. We explore the strategies that inspire a lifelong love for learning in children. So if you're an educator or a curious parent looking for creative, meaningful ways to engage children and move beyond the talk and chalk traditional classroom approach, then this is the podcast for you. We're getting to the pointy end, people. It's almost time to go back to school here in the Southern Hemisphere. And I know that if you're anything like me, you are starting to think about your lesson plans. You're starting to think about the curriculum, the timetable. And most importantly, you're thinking, how the hell are you going to fit it all in? You've got to teach maths, English, science, history, art, digital technology, design and technology, religion, health. The list goes on and on, not to even mention all the skills, right? So let me tell you something. The only way you are going to get through being able to teach that entire curriculum is if you integrate. You've got to teach across the curriculum. In other words, instead of teaching in silos, which if you listened to last week's episode with Daniel Burton from Educated by Nature, Daniel was talking about how he's found that the one problem that educators seem to have is that they teach in silos. My goodness, it's no wonder we're burning out. You're never going to get through the curriculum. There's no point in teaching in silos. Why? A, there's too much. Burnout is imminent. And B, children then struggle to make connections between the different subject areas because life is integrated. We have to teach it in an integrated manner. So what does that mean? It means that perhaps you start with either your science or your humanities curriculum. You have a look at what you're going to teach them in science or humanities this term. Take a science topic, for example. You most probably, if you are in year two, for example, you're going to want, even in year one, you'll start even in pre-primary. It will just be really, 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 really simple. But you might want to draw something. You might want to label it. These are all part of the English curriculum, right? You want to write a report. And so you know that you're going to want these kids to write a report, or maybe you want to write them to write a procedural text about whatever it is that you're doing in science or in humanities. And so what you decide to do in English is you teach them explicitly, direct, explicit instruction, how to write a procedure. And when you're teaching that procedure, don't make it on, I don't know, how do I make a cupcake? Well, you can, but why do you want to make your life difficult? Because if you're teaching a science thing on, let's see, maybe it's chemical sciences, then you can teach how to make a cupcake because maybe you're teaching on how materials change. So what happens when you actually mix flour and water and eggs and sugar, these individual ingredients, what happens to them when you mix them all together, right? What do we call all those terms, like emulsify or whatever it might be? So you thinking, okay, I'm going to write this procedure. So I'm going to teach children procedural writing. And in your procedural writing, you are going to choose a topic that is specifically linked to your science or your HASS curriculum so that you can teach the vocabulary, so that you can teach the exact structure with subheadings that you might need. So that way, not only are you teaching this English skill explicitly, when children then go off and they're doing their science, they can then perhaps, you want to give them autonomy. So maybe they choose their own materials that they're going to mix together and create something. Maybe they're going to create slime. Maybe they're going to make porridge. Maybe they're going to make granola. Maybe they're going to make Play-Doh. And so they're going to create a procedure for this. And so now they can go back looking at the procedure that they wrote step by step with you when you did your how to make a cupcake, for example, And they're going to apply that exact method to their own procedure of writing whatever it is that they're creating or making. Now, what else do? In your guided reading groups, you're going to find material, nonfiction texts on this exact same subject. Let's say it's you learning about the water cycle, or it could be changing matter and materials. There are loads of sites. There's Cool Australia, and there's I Love the American site A to Z Readers. There's all sorts of resources and readers and texts that you can find. You can perhaps just make a photocopy out of a nonfiction book that you've got in the library. Just, you know, photocopy one or two pages. Remember, you're not allowed to photocopy a whole book. And use those pages to teach children. Not only are you going over the topic of what you're learning, but you're going to teach them comprehension strategies. You're going to teach them how to look for those key words. You're going to teach them how to find the main idea of the text. You're going to teach them how to their reading and their sounding out of their words, how to construct a sentence, whatever it might be. But you're going to do it with texts that are linked to your science curriculum so that you're teaching them content, you're giving them understanding, and at the same time, you are ticking off those skills that are necessary for reading and comprehension. Does that make sense? Now, you might also be thinking, well, okay, sometimes math doesn't come in everywhere. I'll give you an example from my own class. When we were planting seeds, we were planting beans or I don't remember, whatever they were. And it was before the holidays. And so we measured them with those 1 centimeter cubes, right? You know, the ones that stick into one another, what they call Unifix cubes. And then the kids, of course, they recorded it. So they took a photograph with their Unifix cubes beside their little plant that they grew or that they were busy growing. And let's say it was, I don't know, 5 Unifix cubes high. They recorded that in their math scrapbook. They've put the picture there. We went off on holiday. We came back. We re-measured the plant. They took another photograph. And maybe this time it was 8 Unifix cubes long. Put the photograph, 8 cubes. And then what we did was we spoke about that mathematical language of difference. And we said, well, okay, so what is the difference?
What?
The difference in height between before we went away on holidays and now. And that's how I introduced the concept of difference and subtraction in mathematics, with a real world experience of them planting their beans or whatever plants they decided to grow, because they didn't all grow the same ones, and how they could then see that they could actually measure those same plants in real life. And we then saw, well, oh, okay, we take the biggest amount. If you've got the 2 Unifix rows of cubes beside each other, it becomes so easy. You can see the 7 and the 5 and there's 2 different, whatever it is. And you then learn that 7 take away 5, 2. And there you have the difference. And the difference is 2. Did I say 7 and 5? I hope so. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. As you sit down and you start planning your learning experiences for this term, for these few weeks. And by the way, if you're new in a class, take time, take these weeks to actually just to get to know the kids, get to know their strengths, get to know their areas of weakness, get to know them personally, what they might be struggling with, you know, their family. You need to do all that before you can even start. So take a deep breath. You don't need to panic. And get to know the kids first. And you get to know them best by doing hands-on activities. For the love of all things holy, set yourself a challenge this year to try and teach as much as possible without technology. And I'm going to be doing more episodes on this, because just today, I saw another really disturbing clip. The trend worldwide and in Australia is that children, in terms of our academic performance in English, reading, writing, spelling, and math and science, is going down. And so governments and education departments are all scrambling, you know, why is this? What's happening? Well, hey, hello, have you noticed the trend that it seems to go totally in line with when you gave kids a one-on-one iPad program. And that also, by the way, goes hand in hand with the emotional, social, emotional decline of our children. It also goes hand in hand with the fact that children are struggling to hold a pencil and write because their core and their gross motor skills are ill-developed because they no longer play outside. There's a correlation. And I think that is a real challenge now for educators. Even on my blog, I have so many articles there that I have linked to evidence and research of what they have found in terms of how technology is affecting growing, developing brains and what we should be doing instead. Okay, so that's one thing. So as you set about planning your units for the next few weeks and this term, maybe try and do them with as little technology as possible. Get real books. Don't watch them on YouTube because actually, I've got a blog post about that. The research shows that there's too much distraction and children actually don't focus on that very much, on the understanding of it, because their brains focus more on the pictures flicking and the lights and stuff. Number two, make life for yourself easier. Go and have a look, draw your mind map of where you can start with either science or HASS and how you can integrate activities and experiences into that using picture books, using hands-on learning and going outside. And I'm sure that from last week's episode with Daniel, you would have noticed just how important it is for children to be outside and how beneficial it is, not just for their academic performance, but for social emotional learning, their resilience, their ability to focus, and a whole bunch more. Now listen, I do have a free resource for you to help you to plan integrated units of work. And I will put a link to that free resource, a free planning tool, a template that you can use to plan cross-curricular learning experiences for your students as you start your new term of teaching. So I hope that you found this a little bit inspiring and it's given you something to think about and some food for thought as you go forward. Hey, and if anything I've said today resonates with you, or you think that I'm onto something, or you just like my content in general, you like to listen to crazy old woman going on and on, give me a follow, subscribe. That way you'll be notified every single time a new episode is published. And if you want to get onto my subscriber list, I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can subscribe to Get Curious, my weekly newsletter. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. I know that you could listen to a million other podcasts, but you chose this one. And so thank you for being here. I really appreciate you. Have a lovely day, and I look forward to being and spending time with you again next week.